Gang, I'm here to tell you a story about a boy, his dog, and a record collection the size of Texas. Playing the best of seven decades of rock and roll, deep cuts, and songs you don't normally hear, it's Toddy and the Pooch every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 8 to 11 p.m. on 94.1 FM KWVH Wimberley Valley Radio. If you don't live in the listening area, you can find them at wimberleyvalleyradio.org. Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 8 to 11 p.m. for Toddy and the Pooch on Wimberley Valley Radio, 94.1 FM. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you all had a great weekend, whatever it is that you did. I had a good weekend. I got back to work with Skyrocket on Friday. We played in Houston. We played a wedding. And I wasn't feeling great on Friday. And it's tough to play a three-hour show. You know what I mean? When you're just not feeling good. Took a five-hour energy drink, drank some water, took a little kind of a nap riding down there with my friend Paul. But it was a great time. It was a great wedding. And then Saturday we played another wedding. I basically spent Saturday in my hotel room, kind of laying around. I got up and went over to Neiman Marcus Last Call, which was right by my hotel. So I walked over there for a little while, grabbed some lunch too while I was out. Whatever. I got a new jacket. It's cool. Then we played a wedding on Saturday night there in Houston. I still wasn't feeling great. And then after that show, I drove back with Paul from Skyrocket. We drove back to Austin from Houston. And Sunday I woke up just feeling terrible, and I was doing this, I was supposed to play one song last night at this Jeff Buckley tribute show, which I did, and it turned out to be good, but I went there, I saw a lot of old friends I haven't seen in a long time, but I was so tired and just so worn out that I feel like I had a zero personality. I ended up leaving a little early, but what I heard from musicians there was pretty amazing. My friend Candace Sanders, I haven't seen her sing in a long time, and I sometimes forget, you forget how great people are, you know? Some of the people that are just around you, you know? This music scene is so rich with amazing musicians with so much to offer. Saw Michael Kincaid, he blew my mind. And the band that my friend Ryan Holly had going for that thing was just amazing. I heard them do their sound check for one of the songs. It was just, it was unbelievable. I mean, it sounded like a record. It was fantastic. So hats off to Ryan Holly and all the gang over there. That did the Jeff Buckley tribute last night over there at 1-to-1 Bar. And also thanks to my friends at 1-to-1. They're always so nice. Great place to play. Hey, guys, listen, if you're not doing anything next Tuesday, November 20th, I will be playing with my band at 8:30 at 1-to-1 Bar. November 20th, come on out. Should be a great show. Scrappy, John Chipman, Sean Crooks, Jamie Harris is definitely singing backup. I don't know who the second backup singer is yet because I haven't heard back from one of them, but we'll find out. Should be a great show. November 20th, Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. I have a great show for you guys today. The cover letter returns to the show, but this time Jacob and Jared didn't come. They sent Angie and Evan. They're bandmates. They have a brand new single called Dollhouse that drops this Friday, November 16th, and they're playing a show Friday, November 16th at the Hole in the Wall special release show with the bands A Human Circuit, Henry the Archer, and Cosmico. Go to thecoverlettermusic.com for all of your cover letter needs. They've dropped a few singles this year. Ghost, Lies. Now the third one is Dollhouse. Comes out this Friday, November 16th. Go to thecoverlettermusic.com for all of your cover letter needs. Angie and Evan and I have a fantastic conversation. Angie's new to music. They just pulled her into the band, and now she's like an integral part of the band. So it's a great conversation. Evan's a very cool dude, guitar guy. Comes from the metal world. We talk about that a little bit. So I hope that you guys all have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. And I hope you enjoy my conversation with Angie and Evan from The Cover Letter. Let's get down.
To a friend. I'd stay in bed for 2.5 hours, so it's like getting up 30 minutes ago.
Oh, wait. Andrew, are you the one that knows Joe Gonzalez?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I met him last week. And
he sent me a text.
Small world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He's a nice guy.
That when I did the delivery for Chewy's.
Yeah, that was the thing.
He just like was there and I was like, cool.
He's one of the nicest guys I know.
Seems so lovely.
He was like,
I text him like every day.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we talk a lot.
That's so good.
He's one of my best friends. I love him very much.
Yeah.
And welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Last time you guys were on, your bandmates, Jacob and Jared, were on.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got you guys, which is great. Not that I don't
variety.
Like those guys, but I like a variety.
Yes.
Yeah. I can learn about you guys now.
Yeah.
So how long have you guys been in the band the whole time? Or
no, we're late arrivals.
Okay.
Because
It's only been in the last, 18 months that Angie and I have been in the band.
Yes.
Because they had their, whole personnel turnover situation, beginning of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to them on Craigslist. They just posted an ad looking for a guitarist.
Guys, I gotta go, man.
Yeah,
I'm just joking. You posted an ad on Craigslist?
They posted an ad and I responded. Okay. Yeah.
What do you play?
I play guitar and I sing backups. I play a bunch of instruments, but guitar is kind of my main thing. So yeah, I just linked up with them and thought the songs had some potential I liked the idea of joining a band that was just a little more established than what I'd been doing and getting to play some bigger shows and meet more people. That was my whole mindset at that time and still to this day. Just meet more people, keep playing.
You haven't so you guys are you guys on the two singles, The Ghost and Lies, as well? Okay.
Yeah,
so you guys
us.
Have been in since that. You weren't on the record before the City's Made of Sand.
Right.
Correct.
We were not part of that.
Yeah.
All right.
And I was just a fan whenever they released those. I worked with Jacob and two of the other former members, Trevor and Chelsea, at Chewy's. And that was my first job. And within the first year, I met all of them. That's the same year they started the band. And so I was really good friends with them and went to all their shows and saw them from the beginning. And so I just naturally learned the songs over 5 years. And then whenever they were looking for new members, because they left to do other projects, at a party, Jared's girlfriend's party or birthday party, Leah, they were like, well, why don't you just join the band? And I'm like, absolutely not. No, I've never done anything. I sing in my car and that's about it. And so
now you're singing on there.
Yeah. It's quite a change. And Jacob was like, no, please audition. Please.
You can hear your voice real clearly on those.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
No, it's good. I mean that in a good way.
Yeah. We like Andrew.
There's definitely,
hot in the mix.
there's definitely like a female voice going on in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I definitely enjoy it. And I've learned that this is something that I want to continue doing. Throughout this time, I definitely was thinking, is this right? Am I, is this the path I want to go down? This is a lot of work and a lot of stress, but it's so worth it, and it's really awesome that they convinced me to do it. Audition, because they definitely went through other people and had other people.
One other person.
One other person?
One other people.
Yeah.
Because I was there for these auditions. I had joined, a week before this happened.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, there's two singers that we're gonna listen to. One of them was Angie, and one of them was this other girl whose name I honestly don't remember. She was great, but Angie had, she was already ready to go.
Yeah.
Could have taken her to the stage on at least 5 of the songs.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah, just on accident.
Ready to go.
Yeah, and so I was very, very nervous. Very nervous. But the nerves have eased over.
How many shows have you done now?
Oh,
yeah, we should have done a count.
We should have, yeah. Let's see.
I'm sure it's over 50.
Yeah.
So you guys play a lot then.
Mm-hmm.
We try to do at least 2 or 3 times a month at various things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't always work out, but we try to do the cycle, play in Austin, play Dallas or Houston, try to pick up something.
Yeah.
At least be hitting every market every,
six
I don't know.
6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks, yeah. 2 months is what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can do. Where are you playing in Houston?
We've played at Warehouse Live.
Oh, yeah, I like that place.
And Natsuo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually still quite fond of Natsuo.
It's very interesting.
I know that show was a little bit of a mess because they were giving us $1 PBRs. And
oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, so it was a scene with the band?
Jumanji came out. No. It was
no.
Fine.
Oh, no, I don't mean that in the sense of, like, we got mad at each other or anything.
No, but you guys just got lit.
A little bit.
Yes.
Afterwards, more so. I don't know. Maybe before. But definitely afterwards. Some shots were involved.
Some shots were involved.
And a fun little photo shoot with some mannequins were involved.
How? Oh, God, poor mannequin.
It was fine.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you travel when you travel? As a whole band in one van?
There's been some different arrangements. The first show, actually, we ever played was in Houston at Walters, or that I ever played.
Yeah. I like that stage a lot.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Oh, did they close?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Walters on Washington. Gone. Yeah. Damn. Later days, bro.
Another one bites the dust.
I know. But that one was fun because we did six people in an Xterra. Was it?
Yeah, it was six people in a car that really holds five.
Yeah.
I was in the trunk.
Yeah. Ooh. And that was fun.
Yeah.
And then on the way to the hotel we stayed at, there was two more people in the car.
Well, yeah, that was a bad idea.
That was fun. Because Jacob and his girlfriend came with us, or like his girlfriend added to the car ride. And so that was, did we like do four in the back? I don't know.
I think Jacob and Marie were sitting on top of each other
in the trunk. And that was just a blast.
Because I remember I was in the passenger seat playing exclusively DJ Screw because we were in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but we've spread out a little bit. Like we've taken the truck.
Yeah, Patrick's we've got truck Patrick's truck six. That can fit six. But now we actually have a van.
Yes.
We finally got a van.
So you got a van?
When
you get a 15 passenger?
I wish.
No, it's like a, this is like a family van kind of thing. It's like a
minivan?
No, it's like a little bigger. It's like a Ford 350, but it's not the 15 passenger one.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
It's got like four captain's chairs and a bench in the back.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what do you trailer your stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gear? Yeah, that's good.
That trailer's, it's dead, basically. I mean, it'll roll. About all it'll do is roll. The lights are shot on it, it leaks and stuff. It's going to have to be redone. Mm. But
it works for
now.
Yeah,
so you guys were able to buy a van as a band?
Is
that how you do that? I mean, not to get into your money or whatever, but the money from the gigs, you put it into the band.
Yeah.
All of it.
If you don't do that, then what are you doing?
Yeah, right? Yes. Yeah.
We're you just have
in
to
it
have
for the love of
a great agreement where everybody agrees to pay an equal amount if they're, you know, taken out an equal amount.
Yeah.
But no, it's just easier to pay the band.
Yeah.
Pay the band, and then the band pays for everything.
And you guys work?
Yeah, both of us.
What do you guys do?
I'm a server at Chewy's.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love that place.
Yeah, and great. I work at Veracruz Tacos.
Oh, nice.
The truck over at Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I've seen you.
Have you seen me there?
Yeah.
I don't remember if I've served you or not.
No, yeah. No.
Yeah, I work there
3 days
a week on the night shift.
That's awesome.
That's why we're able to do things like this.
Yeah.
Because of our wacky service jobs.
Yeah. What Chewy's are you at?
The one on North Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's obviously there. Joe wouldn't be down at that one on Barton Springs.
Oh, no. We're the second store. The Barton Springs is the first. And so we still have like that
brother.
Nice, that little like hole in the wall feel.
Oh, yeah.
But it's nice. It's definitely smaller than all the other ones, but it's fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chewy's is good, man.
Good.
Classic.
Good old Austin favorite.
I wanted to say something about Dollhouse. This single's great. You're doing a release show Friday, November 16th at the Hole in the Wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People can just go to thecoverlettermusic.com to find out all of the information about it. This is a great
Definitely.
Song.
Thanks.
It's real epic. It's sprawling. It has different parts. It has like this.
It's real proggy.
There's still some. There's. And this song. And especially with your voice in it, there was this thing like in San Francisco psychedelic bands of the late 60s. There was always like a girl in the band too that sang. And you guys, there's like a bit of that element in this music. Not to mention the fact that you look like you were there.
I know, really. Shout out 13th floor elevator.
You're still there.
Well, I think
a lot
of that.
What I'm talking about.
Some of that sound comes from the producer that we were working with, the engineer producer, really, Grant Johnson, who works over at Cacophony Recorders a lot.
Yeah.
He is into a lot of that kind of stuff, like kind of psych stuff, and he brought some of that feel to the music.
Yeah.
in the parts where there's more space and reverb, just to give it some more kind of like a little bit of weird noises and some stuff in the background that makes it a little more textural and chewy, especially in that bridge part at, near the end. But that song was always kind of on the proggier end of the spectrum. It's actually a metal riff to begin with. I wrote that intro guitar riff and the main part of the song, and that was originally going to be a riff from my metal band.
You have a metal band?
Not really anymore. We kind of, we all still love each other, but we are seeing other people.
I see that.
Yeah, mostly because my drummer in that band is a really great lighting designer, and he's gotten picked up to do some touring, and he's really out there getting it.
Awesome.
So, like, love him. Don't want to tear him away from his dream to play the first set at a shitty rock show.
Yeah. Where do metal bands play now?
Dirty Dog.
Dirty Dog, that's it, right?
And they have other... Texas Mist. You ever been out to Texas Mist?
No, but...
It is.
This sounds disgusting.
If the owner
Texas Mist kind of Texas like something you don't want on you.
It's like it's out near the airport on I guess it's 183 northbound. Yeah.
Is it like by a strip club or something?
I mean, practically it is like one, Texas. But it's not. Yeah. No. It would be a great
and
strip club.
And it's a rock
name.
Club?
Yeah, they do like heavier stuff, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But I've also seen heavy shows at Sidewinder when that was still a thing. Mm-hmm. And Barracuda still books heavy every once in a while.
Really?
There's still places that'll pull. Places. Yeah. But not like San Antonio, man. San Antonio, they love heavy music.
They really do, man. They don't mess around, dude.
Yeah. We're always talking about metal, too, because like, I love metal, and I try to bring a kind of metal energy to this band, even though we obviously don't play that kind of style.
Yeah.
But something about the intensity of it and the intensity of performance.
Sure.
I want to copy that. You know, yeah. I want to live that.
There's like a weird psychedelic folk rock band.
Yeah.
Is what I think you guys are, right? Is that wrong?
No. No. But I'm going to play it like it's metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You just watch us, you would assume, but it's a nice little juxtaposition.
I had a guy in a band a long time ago. My band got a new guitar player. Do you know Andy Langer?
I don't think
so. He's a DJ guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Writer and stuff. He said, I love that new guitar player. It looks like the way that he's acting on stage, it looks like he's got in-ears and he's listening to like Nine Inch Nails or something. Because he looks like he's in a completely different band playing a completely different style of music.
So funny.
That's kind of me.
I love that. Well, like you and combined with like Jared's dance moves, like it's so great.
Well,
like,
Jared's always listening to different music.
Yes. And I love it. Watching y'all is great.
Jared reminds me of, he looks kind of like TJ Miller to me.
I see it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, well, that might be Jacob, though, because Jacob's got the long curly hair.
Yeah.
Jared acts more like TJ
Miller.
Miller, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, when I met Jared, he had a beard.
Yeah.
It's
like
a
bigger guy, kind of like, you know, kind of goofy like that. Yeah. He reminded me of TJ Miller, who I like. How did you end up in a, just like, I know you ended up because they asked you, but like, what's your path? What's your deal?
Yeah. It's really bizarre.
Are you from Austin?
I was born in Georgia and then I moved to College Station and I grew up in College Station, really. I lived there for about 9 years from like middle school age to after I graduated.
As soon as you could get
out. Yeah. And I said, I need to leave. It's lovely, but goodbye. So I moved to Austin and I originally wanted to go to school for communication and nonprofits was really like my path for a while. And then I was like, I'm good. I don't know what I want to do. And I was working at Chewy's and then I met all these people and I was like, y'all are awesome. And for just years, I kind of was in and out of school and just working consistently. And then at the beginning of last year, I realized I wanted to really focus on playing the guitar. I had been trying to learn for years and nothing ever stuck. And then it kind of like got me and I was like, okay, I get this. I know how to play a chord now. I can work with this.
Yeah.
And I had just the beginning of 2017 was like, I want to make music my focus. And so I had been working with some people and like just trying to collaborate and learn. And it was going well, and then a month later, they were like, we want you to audition for the band. And I was like, okay, like, I will. Like, this was this was my New Year's resolution, was get into music, so let's just jump right in. And that was really it. I had just, like, this inkling to start music and just start learning, and I was like, I should probably, like, play an open mic and whatever, like, just get into it. And I was so nervous. I was
Have you done any interviews before?
A couple.
Okay.
Yeah. They're, yeah, just, like, maybe three or four. And,
Were they as intense as this?
No. Most of the time, it's funny, because most of the time, I'm always with Jared or Jacob.
Yeah.
Who,
you're not
going to
say anything.
Are just...
Yeah. I met those
phenomenal
guys.
At holding a conversation, and I like to listen, so I'll always sit back.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they'll be like, "Do you want to say anything?" And I'm like, "I'm good."
So what? So you've been seeing music all your life, seeing bands, and going and seeing them. What's it like now on the inside? So quickly, like, looking out at an audience instead of being an audience looking up at a band. What is that like?
To me, it feels right. The biggest thing I was most nervous about was getting on stage, and, like, I just didn't know if I could do it. Like, I had grown up, like, kind of performing. I was in chorus in, like, fifth grade, and, like, I used to do gymnastics and dance and stuff, and so I've always liked the aspect of performing, but it never sunk in that that is something I should continue to do, because I would always quit. Like, I stopped doing music in school, and then I stopped doing gymnastics, and I stopped dancing, and I was like, I don't know, it didn't seem like an avenue for me. And then once I got into this, I was like, oh, I do love this. I remember that this is something that I have actually always done, just not in this scope and in this grand, like, situation. And so I have this weird, like, anti stage fright. Like, I love it and I want to do that. I don't know. It just feels like it was definitely the right transition. But it was weird going from being on the, as a fan in the audience of the Cover Letter shows
to being on stage. Yeah.
That was weird. Like, specifically listening to the songs to singing them, like, that. That was a very odd transition mentally. Because I was like, is this my music? Is this, like, is this still mine? And I had to learn how to make it my own to make it feel right. And then once we started writing more, I was like, okay, this is a good feeling.
How much do you guys rehearse?
At least once a week.
Okay, that's good.
For a while, and we're gonna get back into it, doing twice a week.
Where do you have a room?
Mm-hmm. Jared's house. He has a nice jam room set up for everybody's space. Yeah.
We write more at my place, though.
Yeah.
That's the way we were doing it for several months.
Because you have the, like, recording stuff.
Yeah, we would do a full band practice at Jared's house, and then have an extra writing session at my house every week.
Okay, that's cool.
That second one's gotten kind of taken over with doing some other stuff, but
whenever you got, like, something coming out, then all of a sudden creative time gets sucked up.
Yeah,
and
you gotta be like,
we're having, like, two business
tweeting
meetings
to
than,
a thing. Yeah, and, like, oh, what's the that's not fun. Dude. That sucks.
It's a hard balance. I wanted to hop into all of the business stuff because I knew, like, I don't know, we all need to participate. And so I was like, we did go from having, like, two music practices a week to one practice
and,
like,
meetings
always talking about, like, okay, everything else behind the scenes, and which is great. And it's great to learn that, but it is hard to find that balance of, okay, we need to set aside time to continue to write too.
I'm in a band with seven people, and we're a cover band, but it's how we make our living, so there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and there's a lot of other people, too. Like, sometimes we have a meeting with the production people. Like, we have a visual guy, a roadie guy, and then a sound person, and then and a booking agent guy. But it's funny because occasionally we have to, like, every couple months, we got to, like, all right, we got to go meet at a place away from instruments where, because you have those meetings and someone's always like,
yeah, somebody's always there.
Hey, what do you guys think about playing the thing? Yeah, man, like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yes, exactly.
But we have micro meetings backstage. Yeah. And, like, for the first 10 minutes of rehearsal at everything. So we kind of spread it out.
That's good.
So it's not so ugly as one giant thing that's no fun to do.
Yeah.
So, Evan, man, you're a metal guy. Where are you from? Where were you born?
I was born in Carrollton in Dallas.
Okay. Home of Lord Tracy, Dallas. That's a Dallas metal band, right?
I guess so.
They were called Tracy Lords, and then they got a record deal. And Tracy Lords, the porn star, was like, mm-mm. And so they said, like, cool, that's fine. We'll change it to Lord Tracy.
That's funny.
So I think they were on a big label. Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, they might have been on Geffen or something. I don't know. I might be wrong.
Man, shout out Geffen. They put out all that early They Might Be Giants stuff. You know They Might Be Giants?
What kind of metal guy is like in a weird San Francisco psychedelic band, a folk band, and then is like, you know They Might Be Giants? Yeah, I know They Might Be Giants.
I figured you must. I mean,
you listen to like everything?
Honestly, oh, yeah.
Yes, 100%. Our car rides are very interesting.
I have a favorite. It's on Flood. Mm. Minimum wage. Yeah. It's my favorite. That's my very favorite song of theirs.
So oh my God. What a great album too.
Yeah, great
Flood
album.
Is just all killer.
Is that
no
the Istanbul, not Constantinople?
No, that, I'm pretty that sure that's on it. Lincoln.
Okay.
Yeah, which might actually be my favorite.
Oh, build a little birdhouse in your soul.
Yeah, that's on, such a good riff.
Yeah.
What a good song.
Yeah.
What a good song. We should do that song.
Yes.
Forget all these.
She doesn't even know. She's just
I
like,
have absolutely
yes,
no idea.
Evan, whatever, dude.
Man.
Yeah. I'm down for it.
No, They Might Be Giants was one of my first bands that like lit up my brain when I was a kid.
Really?
And it's because of my dad. Yeah. He's a big fan of theirs and was always playing that stuff. And I latched onto it immediately because it's so melodic and so like wacky. It appealed to my sense of humor, but also my sense of like whatever kind of aesthetic sense you have as a kid.
Sure.
And yeah, it was off to the races from there. I've always loved them.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. So I am a metal guy, but I studied classical music for a long time.
That's very metal.
Jazz and stuff. So like I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
Love folk music. Love, I've been getting into a lot of more like world stuff lately.
Oh yeah.
Partially because of working at Veracruz and listening to a lot of cumbia.
Oh yeah.
We play so much cumbia there. It's like that rhythm just gets into my head and I have to listen to cumbia.
Have you gone and seen these cats like all those like Money Chicha and Superfónicos? And
I've seen a band called Cienfuegos.
Cienfuegos, yeah, they're cool, yeah.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Superfónicos. I've seen their name on a lot of things. And there's a couple others. Like, we saw a band called, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to pull out this name. It was at a free week show at Sidewinder. They were a Latin band and they did some cumbia. Oh my God.
Oh.
I'm losing it. I'm sorry.
I have no idea. I don't know. I have the worst memory.
But yeah, I love that there's people doing that here in Austin, like live cumbia bands, salsa bands.
Yeah.
Did we play with them? No.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're on the bill.
At,
pretty sure.
I don't want to get it wrong.
No, I don't want to get it. It doesn't.
Yeah. And the listeners, they don't care, really. To be honest, they really don't care.
We can
I'm standing
cut that
up for you guys. I'm your
out.
Lawyer. Audience. Wait, there was something else I was going to say to you. What is Houston City Hall before we go back to your life? That's where you're playing on Saturday, November 17th.
Oh, it's a
that's
festival.
A venue?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a festival.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like,
it's the Via Calori
is it some
festival.
New weird.
I guess that's just the listed location because it's like a street thing. It's like a
street
festival.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I was like, is this the weird car or something?
No, this isn't the art car thing.
No, art car.
That is cool though. I know a couple people who do that. That's a whole wicked scene onto itself, man.
Houston has these like subcultures.
Yeah.
In like the late 80s and early 90s, there was this. Oh, God, what were the skating people called? Urban Animals. And they all had, like, they had shirts. Like, they're very organized subcultures. They have shirts, like, that say Urban Animals on them. And they were these weird, like, mohawk people, like, pierced, like, fucking on roller skates, going to Fitzgerald's. Like, what the hell's going on here? So, all right. So, your dad plays you They Might Be Giants. Mm-hmm. Was he a nerd? I'm not trying to be mean to your dad.
No, unquestionably. Like, I mean, with love and respect.
Yeah, totally.
He would own it too.
Sure, I mean, sure.
He was an engineer, and then he taught himself
It's funny, you can like just name one band that somebody likes, and you're like, oh, you're a nerd? You're a nerd, huh?
I mean, yeah, with, and especially with They Might Be Giants, like, yeah, that is like pretty targeted like on nerds.
Yeah.
They've got a song
about... If he was older, he would have been super into Devo.
Oh, no, we had Devo Greatest Hits, too. I got Devo Greatest Hits from my dad, too. And they're great, too. Like, what a great band.
Amazing.
So cool,
amazing,
so
yeah.
tight.
Amazing.
We're going to play Devo in the car.
I'm
going to
learn so much.
Next time. Oh, my God.
Okay, so what made you want to play guitar?
Well, I think it was just when I was like 11-ish, 11, 12, you know, I was listening to more rock music.
Mm-hmm.
There's a radio station in Dallas called 102.1 The Edge.
Uh-huh.
And they used to be... Yeah, because this was like 2002, 2003-ish. So they were playing a lot of like new grunge, like Nickelback and Creed.
Yeah.
And that appealed to me, being like an angsty Creed. Tween. And, you know, so I started thinking about playing guitar because I'd already been playing piano and I was starting bassoon in school.
Yeah.
But neither of those things gave me the kind of like aggression I wanted.
Yeah, you can't.
So, I dropped the...
You can't play Slipknot on bassoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I don't think anyone's ever said that sentence. I just wanted it to be out there and recorded for humanity. Can't play Slipknot on bassoon.
Somebody's going to prove me wrong on YouTube, I bet.
Yeah, it's going to be you. Yeah. Like, yes, I can.
Yeah, so I started picking it up and did like a year of lessons to get some of the basics and then just kind of started reading tabs and... teaching myself more by ear and by watching stuff. And guitar, something about it just gets me.
Yeah.
There's something about the way it's laid out, the way it's really tactile and responsive.
You can really dig in.
You can dig in a way that you can't on some other instruments.
In a way you can't on
a
keyboard.
Yeah.
At least I can't dig in like that. I know some people can't. I can't. Achieve that. I know exactly what you mean.
And I, you know, I had already been playing piano, but it felt like it was a struggle in a way that other instruments weren't. Piano has always been a struggle for me for some reason.
Me too.
It just doesn't click in the way that other things do, which is a shame because it's so useful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So did you start recording at home and stuff then?
Yeah.
That's when you started getting into it?
Yeah, started doing that in high school, just a little bit
here
and there.
What'd you have?
I had a Radio Shack knockoff of like a SM58 and a little USB interface that had one single input
on it. Oh, so you're recording in your computer?
Yeah.
Into like Cubase?
Into Audacity, which was only... It was a free recording program.
But you learn the fucking basics, man.
Yeah, learn the basics. Seven levels.
I mean...
You know, why does this sound like shit? Oh, because it was too loud.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And then doing more in college, like recording in my dorm room, mostly just covers.
Where'd you go to college?
What is this place called? Austin College. It's not here in Austin. It's in Sherman, Texas. It's like a little liberal arts college. I went there and did music composition and painting and stuff. And yeah, just doing songs in my dorm room.
Your parents must have been super cool.
I,
because it's like if you'd like, you know, that's just like, hey, yeah, man, I'm just music composition and painting, man. I want to go there and do some recording in my dorm room. They'd be like, we're not paying for that.
Fortunately, I got some scholarships that covered it.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, that.
Because that just sounds like your kid wants to go somewhere else to smoke weed.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Like, yeah, I got to go to a different city, Mom. I don't want you to be coming over with my bong out.
Which is also funny because I actually the least into weed in the band. I'm the probably
Angie, that
the
says a lot about you.
I'm like a step up.
You're the guy. See, that's a good guy to have though in the band because you're the first guy like that would get searched and they'd be like, "Well, he doesn't have it, so these guys are cool."
Exactly. Yeah, I get that all the time. Like, yeah, do you smoke, bro? Yeah, you must smoke, bro.
Yeah.
Sure, whatever.
Do you guys ever play at Radio?
We played there once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems
and
like
I,
a.
I played there.
Are you too?
By myself once too.
Oh yeah, are you too loud for that place?
Yes,
it's a little loud.
Yeah, we really, if we're going to play there again, we need to do it as like an acoustic set. Because they have full bands come through all the time.
Yeah,
but
I've seen
think
it just takes a different kind of playing.
Exactly.
And different, bringing different shit sometimes too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it seems like that place is... I've gone and seen some people play there. I don't know how to... Who do you know? Who books that place?
Jack Wilson does, okay. the general manager.
I'll reach out to him. Hey, yeah, Jack Wilson.
He can be a little hard to get a hold of.
All booking people can. Exactly. Can you imagine that? That's your job? It's just... It's like Jesus and the lepers. It's just like, oh, help me. Help me. Help me. It must be awful. Oh, I wouldn't want to do that in a million... I wouldn't want to be a booking agent, and I wouldn't want to be the person, the club, the talent buyer. Ugh. Jesus. Okay. Can you imagine? And then, like, people get mad, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Like... You know, that Jack guy, he's probably busy. And then he didn't get back to you in time. Like, oh, that Jack guy's an asshole.
He's an asshole, yeah.
But he's not an asshole. Sorry, he's a guy like with a bunch of shit to do.
500 yeah. emails.
Yeah, exactly.
From a bunch he has of, an yeah. unclearable yeah. inbox.
And then the weird thing is, I work with Austin Music Foundation, a nonprofit mm-hmm. here in Austin.
Yeah.
And people come in for consultations and stuff, and they don't understand, like, you're like, well, how many people do you bring in when you play? I'm like, 10? And you're like...
Okay.
Well, this place has to pay rent, man. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
10 people ain't going to be the rent paying thing. And they're like, well, I mean, but man, we're a lot better than most. And you're like, okay. Really, dude? The world doesn't work like that. No. Like, bring in a lot of people and people will let you play whenever you want.
Yeah.
That dog's bummed, man. He gets bummed like twice a day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think it's when his mom leaves or something. He spends like a good 20 minutes like... It's crying.
Howling.
It's awful, isn't
That's
it?
So
it's really
sad.
I just want to hug him. When she comes out and walks him and I see him, I'm always like, come here, buddy. Like,
it's okay. Yeah. Welcome back.
Do you have a dog then?
I have no. I have two cats. They also cry, but they just want me to feed them at all hours of the day.
Does that van, as a person who wasn't in vans before mm-hmm. and also a female, Mm-hmm. Does that van smell terrible?
We have yet to ride in it, so...
Oh. We're going to do a good shampoo job on all those carpets.
We should.
It doesn't take that long.
Yeah.
How many dudes?
Five.
Yeah. It doesn't take very long. It takes, like, to bastrop.
To make it smell? Is that, yeah.
You never know.
It's fine.
I've been in bands for a long time.
It can't be worse than the room we practice in. Like, it just... just, like, six people in any small space is going to, you know... Just
I'm in a band with six dudes and one female, and I know, like, there's a, if there's any way that she can be in a different place.
She takes the opportunity.
Well, you know what? I would say that she actually does end up hanging out a lot more, because she's also a nerd.
Yeah. I've never been...
She's a girl nerd.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah. I've never been bothered by, like, the amount of people I'm around, so it'll be fine. Maybe after like weeks in the van, that might be a little different story.
Freaky-deaky.
But we'll see.
I'm actually the one to exclude myself for personal reasons, not for like hygiene reasons.
You don't like the
he
people?
Likes to be alone.
No, I just like I have like a chronic need for alone time.
Well, that's what. And,
yeah.
This band has gotten to that point. We've been together for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Like. 16 years,
oh, wow, yeah.
15 years really working, and we all ride separately, unless it's, I mean, it's That's awful, fun. We're leaving an awful carbon footprint, but we wouldn't be a band if we were still all riding together.
Do what's
in
necessary.
It's those little things that, like, you can't, like, you know, because there's always the guy that, like, you stop at the place, someone pumps the gas, people go in, they pee, they get their chips and a Coke or something, and then they all come back in the van, and then there's a guy's like, oh, wait, man. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but after like a year and a half of, oh, wait, man, you're like, dude, if you oh, wait, man again, you know what I mean?
Goodbye.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in the van.
Yeah.
You're new.
I am new.
You're very new at the van. It gets weird.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, people cry.
I believe
I've seen tears.
I'm sure I'll cry eventually.
One guy pooped his pants.
Okay. who's going to do that first?
The guy on the far right in the soccer shirt in that photo over there. I can't say his name on here because he'll be totally bummed. But he pooped his pants.
That
pulling
is
out of Atlanta.
Okay.
Well, what happened was... Also, there's things on the road that you forget. Like, you're in Athens, Georgia, and the dude that's after sound check, the manager of the place goes, you know, they have dollar sushi down the street, and you're like, oh, yeah. But you don't think, like, I'm in Athens, Georgia, eating dollar sushi. You don't go, like, what's wrong with this sushi?
Yeah, yeah, like, why is it a dollar?
You just don't. And then until the next day, everyone's like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, we had to cancel a show in Tampa. We did.
Oh, my God.
Everyone went down.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it was it was also our own fault. It was pretty stupid.
Shit, I would take the gamble. I'm 27.
27. And how old are you, Angie?
25.
25. You guys are young, man.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay that way.
Yeah.
Is Austin...
Your birthday's not next month.
Do you guys have an active, like, Austin social life? Like, do you go out to the places and see the bands? And
yeah, we try.
Where do you go? Is there a place you guys, like...
I like Cheer Ups a lot.
Yeah. I do too. Everybody seems to really like that place a lot.
Yeah. I love that outdoor stage so much. Mm-hmm. Such Me too, a cool man. Spot.
Me yeah. too. I've always loved that place. Yeah.
And I like the sound at Stubbs Indoors.
Yeah, Danny.
I'll go there if there's somebody that I know playing or whatever, because mm-hmm. I know I can get a good show.
Yeah. What do you guys like to play the most here in town?
Definitely Stubbs Indoors is the top one.
Yeah. Mohawk's always good too. I like it.
It's a fun stage to play. I just think that room doesn't sound super great.
Really? I've heard it sound really good. They had a guy in there. It was a long time ago. It was like 7 years ago or something. This guy that was there was amazing. Mm-hmm. And he would tour with bands and then like work on his nights off. Or nice. Or
something.
Yeah. So Mohawk is a good, there's a good vibe there. Love, but I do understand. It's a weird room. Stage. It's small.
It's like, yeah. It's like very, definitely intimate. Any show that I've seen there that like I wasn't playing, I've always enjoyed at least. So
in the time of swing, like, mm-hmm. you know, in the late 90s mm-hmm. when swing started happening, they had that Gap commercial.
Huh. Wait, we're talking like New Jack Swing?
Not like Tender Lover by Babyface. But like swing, like da-da-da-da-da, people were smoking cigars and
okay.
I guess that's when that fedora thing started, and I guess that's just kind of the only thing that held on.
Yeah.
Everybody was playing a stand-up bass mm-hmm. for, I think, like a year. And then, like, all of a sudden, every dude you knew that was, like, in a metal band 2 years ago now had, like, this swing band.
Oh, God.
It's true. Fun. There was a whole movement. But that place was a swing and cigar place.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I remember going there one night and going, like, this place is fucking stupid.
Because that would have been before they built out all the stage and everything outside, or
yeah, it was before there was a stage outside and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it was the Caucus Club, like 15 years ago. Joe Gonzalez and mm-hmm. I, our friends ran that place.
Oh wow!
And then we hung out there every night. I played there like every Wednesday or something. Hmm. And then it became the Mohawk, and then it became really cool.
Nice.
Not that it wasn't cool when it was a cop, but it came into its own, yeah, it came so into to speak. Its own, it really yeah. did. It found its
yeah.
footing and became a place. So yeah,
that's awesome.
You guys don't hang out on Sixth Street.
I mean
the parish is cool.
I've seen the parish.
Yeah, oh, you know that's what? Sad to yes. say. It is cool.
Yeah.
Well, Velveeta Room is cool, and also I'm not gonna lie, I always have a good time when I go to the Dirty Dog.
Shout out to
I have
dog.
Some friends that play there sometimes, and yeah. I go there and. They don't just do metal. Like, now I've seen there was a band in here the other day, and they're like, oh, yeah, we played at Dirty Dog. I was like, really? Huh. It'd be like if you guys played at Dirty Dog. That would be weird.
Maybe we should.
Yeah, let's do it. Reach out.
New That's fans. The only place that has, like, a boob, like a photo booth boob wall.
Oh, my God.
I like that about it.
Okay. Yeah.
I just I like the trashiness of that. It's, yeah. like, it's just like, yeah, man, this is what this place is about, man. Black walls, metal, boobs on the wall. Yeah. Like,
very
let's
open,
do it. Let's, yeah, let's
massive.
Do There's a boxing. Yeah. Like, instead of a video game, they have, like, a boxing thing. And, like, yeah. fuck, let's do it.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But I'm not that kind of guy.
No?
But I do enjoy going there.
You become that guy by the end of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, by the end of the night, I'm, like, looking for a fight.
Yes.
And, like, got a bandana around my head.
You spill out onto the street, spoiling for action.
Yeah, my Spanish accent comes out. No, man, I was waiting for you inside, pero you never come in, and I'm waiting and waiting. Is there anything I'm missing? Your new single, Dollhouse, does also drop on November 16th, mm-hmm. which is Friday. That night, you will be celebrating with a release show at the Hole in the Wall with special guests, The Human Circuit, Henry and the Archer.
Henry the Archer.
Henry the Archer. Look at me. Oh, because Henry and the Invisibles. You know what happens to me? I make my own words. Cosmico is another band. So you guys are all doing the show together.
Yes.
Should be a lot of fun. Then the next day, we'll be traveling to Houston and playing for that festival.
Mm-hmm. Via Calori Festival is the name, Via Calori?
Via Calori. I thought you said Vehicle Art.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I thought you said it wasn't art.
That's
farm.
Why we're Vehicle talking about art.
Via Calori Festival.
That's what we're going to call it now. It's the Vehicle Art.
Go to thecoverlettermusic.com for all of your cover letter needs. Or the cover letter needs. Guys, am I missing anything? It's been a pleasure talking to you.
That's the hot points right
what's
there.
What's your rig? Let's do a rig run
guitar. I play a Reverend Jetstream 390 as my main performing guitar, and I also have a kind of parts Telecaster that I've built some different stuff into. I run a DeVille 410 amp.
Oh, yeah.
It's from the 90s, so it's still made in America.
And right.
Apparently, that makes it sound better.
What is really? Hot Rod DeVille?
Yeah, the Hot Rod DeVille, the 410 one.
Yeah. I know.
I don't like the 212.
I used to play that at the Caucus Club before it was Mohawk.
There you go.
That was my amp for like 2 years, and then I moved to a smaller one.
Yeah. I'm also thinking smaller. I'm looking at maybe trying to build one with my dad. Do like a Princeton copy.
The lady in our group, Trish, she has one. It's a 60s, and it is, I just, like, whenever she plugs it in, like, just strum it. And if I'm, in front of the stage, you know, like, it sounds, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's a special amp. That's, like, a great design. And they're supposed to be simpler to build than two-channel stuff. Hmm. Like, the Deluxe is a more complex circuit because it's two-channel.
It's interesting. I feel like, I mean, I don't know who else. But I feel like maybe you and I are the last guys that use like Fender amps. Like everybody has some boutique amp now.
I don't know. I just can't afford it is all. I mean, I can't spend $2,000 on an amplifier.
I've just always bought Fender amplifiers or Marshall. So what's going on, guys?
I mean, Fender is like the standard to me.
It takes everything I have not to take this to gigs. Because the Pro Juniors sound so good, man.
Yeah.
They're tough.
Yeah.
You know?
You can throw them around. You don't have to worry about it falling apart. It's just good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what makes them sound better, though.
No.
Take out the red pilot light and put a blue one in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes it
I've
sound
better.
I've
got a blue one in my amp.
Yeah. I had my guy put one in on my other amp. A blue one. I like blue lights way better than...
They're so much better.
Yeah.
I swear to God, they make the amp sound better.
That happened to me when Durham Electronics first put out its pedals. I was like, wait, the light's blue. What the fuck? And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. You can get blue lights instead of those stupid red ones? Like, yeah. So, it was also Mesa Boogie in the late 90s had blue lights. And I was always like, yeah, that's way better.
Yeah.
We're dorks.
No,
this is like just dork dude. Like,
I know.
Yeah, man.
I run a small pedal board. I don't like a whole lot of stuff, but I've just switched up my gain staging setup. For a while, I was only using one overdrive pedal, just on or off. But now I've got kind of a two-stage thing, and I'm using a compressor too. So I'm using the Timmy overdrive. Have you ever used one of those? Uh-uh. Ooh, it has completely blown my mind.
Wow.
I picked it up for $100, and it is like the best sounding thing in my entire rig. It's creamy, rich. It has maybe some kind of top end roll off, but
it's
a good mid push that has some good cut in it.
That's nice.
Because I tend to like really bright sounds on guitar, especially in a band this big.
Right.
I want to sit just right there in the mix.
Yeah.
Have my own little niche right there.
Yeah.
And not take up the bass range, not take up the keyboard range.
Which is so kind of like a non-metal tone, because sort of that modern metal tone is scoop mids.
Yeah. I want all high mids.
Yeah, yeah.
No bass. Too. Just have me sit right there. Yeah. Play some country licks.
Yeah.
And I use a lot of slapback too. I have a little it was a build your own clone delay kit.
So you build stuff.
A little
you're
bit. I've been getting into it more recently. My soldering is not great.
Yeah.
But I can make a joint. I can yeah. You know,
I can make a joint too. Yeah, really. I can make one on my new Paul McCartney vinyl album. All right, guys, seriously, if you're listening to this show, get out and check out the cover. If you're listening to this show, someone heard me say that. That's not listening to this show.
It's okay. Like, wait,
if you're just walking by a speaker and I'm talking, guys, the cover letter, new single, Dollhouse, out November 16th. Show Friday, November 16th here in Austin. Woo! TheCoverLetterMusic.com. Angie, Evan, thank you guys for coming by.
Thank you, John. Yeah.
Welcome. All right. That's Angie and Evan from the band The Cover Letter. Their brand new single, Dollhouse, drops this Friday, November 16th, and they are celebrating with a show this Friday, November 16th, at the Hole in the Wall right here in Austin, Texas. Go to thecoverlettermusic.com for all of your The Cover Letter needs. Yeah, I'd like to thank those guys for dropping by. It was great hanging out with them. And don't forget, gang, while you're out there checking out thecoverlettermusic.com, you can subscribe to this podcast on all of the mediums that it is available on. That's right, anywhere, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Android Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, all the places where people find the podcast. You will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Me talking to a musician of some sort. How did I get here? Also, like our Facebook page. You'll see a photo of me and Angie and Evan from this band, The Cover Letter, who is dropping their brand new single, Dollhouse, this Friday, November 16th. All right? And hey, gang, listen, I was going to say if you're in San Antonio this Friday, November 16th, come see Skyrocket. We're playing at Sam's. Come on out. Should be a good show. All right. Let's hear the rest of this song, Lies, from The Cover Letter. It's one of the singles they've dropped this year. So get involved. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing, gang. Let's get down. What?